This is a tape for the Oral History Project, Voices of Faith, Years of Change. Today is May 10th, 1995, and there are two narrators. Would you say your names, please?
Richard Ledoux.
And mine is Betty Ledoux.
And I am the interviewer, Sister Sally Witt. We are at the Ledoux's home on Creighton Road, and that's 1375 Freeport Road in Creighton. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
1375. Thank you very much for agreeing at short notice to have an interview today. Let me ask, there's one question, and of course the answer will be different for both of you. I want to ask you where you were born.
Okay, I'll go first. I was born in Creighton. You want the year? Or?
If you want to.
Oh, it doesn't matter. 1926, and it was a midwife that delivered me.
Really?
Uh-huh. And I'm one of nine children.
Are you?
Uh-huh.
Where do you come?
Well, two are dead. What?
Where do you come in the nine?
I'm the baby of the family. And the only one living.
Really?
The only one living.
Mm-hmm. What was it like to grow up as the baby of a family and nine children?
We all got along real well.
Mm-hmm.
We were a close-knit family, very religious.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember depression days, but I do remember my older brothers and sisters telling me about depression days, and but we always had food on the table, and I think it was through the help of God that we got through all this.
Mm-hmm.
And we all managed, and we were always happy. We were a happy family.
How did your family get to Creighton?
Well, my mother and dad, my mother's parents came from Russia. She was she was born here, though. They came across. And my dad was born in the United States also. And they ended up here in Creighton. It was always Creighton where they lived. Because his brothers came, and my mother's sisters and her brother, they all lived around here. It was just one close-knit family. And that's how I remember them, is my mother telling me about it.
You said your dad was born in the United States.
Uh-huh.
Do you know where his family was from?
Czechoslovakia.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother's parents were from Russia.
And you grew up as members of St. Clement's Parish?
Oh, yes. Yes. We had to take a streetcar there. It was there was no buses. Either that or a jitney. I remember a jitney.
Who drove jitneys?
Anybody that had a car, you know, and some would do it free, or you pay them 15 or 20 cents, I remember. But we had streetcar tracks along 28. We'd have to walk up the hill, though, to go to church. And my older brothers and my they went to Catholic school at St. Clement's. And then the rest of us went down here east here in Creighton.
How come you went to different schools?
There wasn't a public school evidently then, because my sister died 3 years ago, and she was 89 when she died, so it was only the Catholic school. And then as my brothers got older, they only had grades up to 1 to 6, and they either had to go to Kent High or go to Trenton to go finish their education. But us, it was at one school. I lived across from a school, and I graduated from that school.
8 years?
First to 12th grade.
12 years.
Uh-huh. There was two parts. There was Glassmere, they had their own school, and Creighton, which were not too far apart. But this is a nursing home now.
All right, I've seen that. I passed
And they
that.
Still have a grade school down below.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But we all walked to school, and it was nice.
Hmm. What kind of work did your father do?
My dad was a coal miner. Okay, and then he lost his daughter, and he was a janitor at the school where I went to school.
Mm-hmm. Did you know much about his work when you were growing up?
No. I remember my mother saying about he and my two older brothers used to go to the mine, and nobody ever quit till they got hurt, it seemed. But no, I don't read. That's about it. I remember them saying they walked across the river there. There was a plant across the river with the ice. The winters were very bad. And they walked there to go to work with their lunch buckets.
Was there a bridge?
We only had the one bridge, but that's how thick the ice was then. Oh, yeah. Well, our winters were, in my days, mm-hmm. the winters were cold. We ice skated on the river and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have all the luxuries that kids have today, that's for mm-hmm. sure. But we were happy.
Let me just shift and ask you, Richard, where your family came from.
Well, I was born in Trenton. My mother and father, I think, were both born here, but their parents were from Belgium, mm-hmm. somewhere outside of Brussels, somewhere. I can't even think of the name. And I went to Third Ward in West Trenton, Trenton High School. That's it. Mm-hmm.
Did your parents tell you much about your Belgian heritage?
No, my grandmother and grandfather lived with us. My grandmother spoke only Belgian, and my grandfather was broken, you know, English. And I could speak Belgian when I was younger, and I can understand it if they talk slow enough. My dad was a glass cutter, and he took my brother and me both. We went into cutting glass when we get out of the service.
Mm. But before that, Rich, they had a store.
We had a fish store on West 7th Avenue, and my uncle had a beer distributor right next door. Right now, there's a barber shop in there on 7th Avenue.
Is this the fish store?
Uh-huh. Right in West Trenton.
Who's standing here?
That's his father. Dad.
Yeah, you know, if I can.
Did you see the prices? Of the butter?
27 cents. Oh my, 25 cents.
But tell him about the fish. That he'd go down the road with the fish.
Oh, yeah, we'd haul fish.
They'd haul fish.
To sell. We'd go out Mill Street and sell fish. They had a rumble seat, and we'd put the fish in a big tub with ice and go out and sell fish.
Mm.
Yeah.
Was this fresh fish?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Where'd you get it?
Well, they'd get it shipped in from Baltimore, but
uh-huh.
it was mussels. We used to eat mussels. And he could get anything. He did all right with that.
Did that come in on the railroad?
Yeah, on the railroad, yeah.
Hmm.
Well, you live right by the railroad.
Yeah. And they used to fly pigeons. They were big pigeon men, and go up to the Belgian club every Sunday and race your pigeons.
I'm not familiar with that at all. How did they do that?
Well, you'd raise your pigeons, and then the week that you're going to race, you'd box them up. They had cages for them. You'd box them up and take them up to the railroad station, put them on a train, and take them maybe to Ohio or somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and at a certain time I'd leave them loose in Ohio, and you had a clock, and they had a band around their legs, I remember. And they'd come in, they'd fly in. Well, you'd have to try to get them into the cage, you'd whistle, shake a can of feed, they'd hear it, and they'd come shooting down, swoop in, you'd take the band off, and you had a clock. You'd put the band in, you'd punch it down, that was the time that your pigeons come in.
Huh.
And you won the race. You used to bet pretty good on them. Then everybody go up to the club and have a good time. I was young, yeah.
The Belgian club's right here in Trenton.
I've seen it, but is it operating still?
Yeah.
Do you belong?
No, I give that up quite a few years ago. Yeah. But that's what they did. They'd send the Belgians for pigeons. They'd buy
really?
Pigeons from Belgium. They had one big red that came from Belgium. It was if they weren't any good, you'd wring their neck and you'd eat them.
Oh, I see. Too.
I mean,
if they didn't win the race,
you always had something out of a pigeon. If they didn't win the race, you'd eat them. I never ate pigeon.
Didn't you?
No, my mother and dad, my brother liked them. She likes pigeons. I don't care for chicken or pigeons. But that was mostly what we did. The river, summer, the river was our vacation. We'd go down and swim in the river and And we got ball fields in later on, played ball. We never went anywhere on vacation like they do now. But that was our summer vacation, playing in and swimming in the river.
Did you ever play on the tops of the hills in Tarentum?
Rich did.
Play what?
At the tops of the hills in Tarentum?
The plateau.
Is that what it was called?
Uh-huh.
Well, we played ball up on the plateau. Yeah, they had ball field up there. I think that, what was that other church?
Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart. I think some of their people built a field up on top of the plateau.
Hmm. I'm thinking of up where the water towers are.
No.
Oh, well, there was nothing there. We used to go up through the hills all the time. We was always up in the hills, too. But I climbed the water towers a couple of times, too. But I don't think there was any play things up there. Mm-hmm. The only one I can remember is up right up on top of this, and they call it the plateau.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to school?
Trenum High School. Well, Third Ward to begin with, in West Trenum, up on top of, 9th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And from there we went to Trenum High School, walked both ways too, yeah. Come home for dinner, walked back up.
So two round trips a day.
Yeah.
For both of you, how did you get your religious education when you were growing up?
Catechism. We had to go to catechism, confirmation.
Where did you go?
St. Clemens. Rich went to St. Pete's.
There was a Father Duval that I've been told about. Do you remember him?
I helped him up the altar. He was so old that me and my brother put our arms under his and carry him up in the altar.
Was he there a long time?
Oh, my. That was St. Pete's, I think, Father Duval. I think he died out of St. Pete's. I don't remember right, but then there was Father Ackerman. He was the assistant, and then we got Father Brennan, and he was a younger priest.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that took us on picnics and everything when we were altar boys.
We were altar boys. Who trained you to be altar boys?
Father Duval. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was in Latin, too. That wasn't in English. We learned Latin, too. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Everything's so good.
Well, they all did. Ackerman and Brennan, they all taught us, you know, the Latin. Helen Grieco was our Sunday school teacher.
Was she, really?
Yeah.
I think I talked with her. She's living around here, isn't
she?
She lives
on
top of the hill.
Okay, I talked with her, yeah.
She's an old timer, too.
I think we'd go up there Sunday afternoon to catechism. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were you aware, when you were growing up, of any Slovak customs in your family?
Oh, it was our tradition, Christmas traditions and Easter traditions, and we blessed baskets and made your Pascha and took that. And I don't know, it was going to church was something really big for us, because we got dressed up, you know, and went to church. But nothing. Oh, and then at Christmas, it was my relatives that all came around. We had a player piano. And this is how we visited each other's home at Christmas time. And we didn't get gifts like the children get now. You know, we were happy with string and popcorn. And my dad killed a pig with all his brothers. And we had a feast on that. That was our growing up days.
Where did he get a pig? Did you have a farm?
Oh, no, they went to the farm and picked one out and had it slaughtered.
Mm.
Would make their own lard and do this and do that, you know. And then my mother and them would all make apple butter. All her relatives would get together and make apple butter in the yard. It was just simple things. It was a delicacy for us to get, like, a bought cake. We never had a bought cake because my mother baked bread like 3 or 4 times a week and made donuts and stuff like that. We were never, to get a piece of bought cake was something for us.
Did you like it?
Oh, yes. Well, that was like you with bread, right? Your mother bread. Homemade
we'd get
bread.
A loaf of sliced bread, and we thought that was
great. Oh, that was
great.
Something. That was
That's
something.
All we ever had, though, was homemade bread. We
yeah.
You know,
they never bought
my
bread.
My grandmother would bake every 2 days, she'd make homemade bread.
Mm-hmm. Did your grandparents live with you?
Yeah, with down on 6th Avenue. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then they were in the flood, too.
What flood was that? The 36 flood?
Oh, yeah.
Was it 36 uh-huh. or 37?
Well, there was a 36 one that was big.
That was it, Rich. That was a 36.
That was it. Our house on 6th Avenue, me and my grandmother, she was like 300 pounds.
Really?
We walked off our porch roof and got into a canoe.
Mm.
And the fireman took us around the corner and left us off on Wood Street at going up towards St. Pete's.
Grantham?
No, Center.
Center. That was a bad flood. Yeah. All the furniture was in the flood and everything.
Everything would have been lost.
Oh.
No, what?
It was just floating around. And my daughter has his mother's dining room furniture, and it's over, it has to be over 100 and some years old.
Hmm.
No?
We set it all up on chairs, and we're sitting up there, and you could hear toppling and falling and floating around. You could see the water coming across the field, coming into your cellar.
Mm.
They took us out the next day. It was 6 steps from being up in our bedroom, so that was pretty high.
That was high.
Yeah, it came down pretty good.
That was high.
Chicken coops floating down. whiskey barrels from Shenley floating past you. That was a big flood.
Mmm. What kind of work did both of you do after high school?
I went in the Navy. I didn't graduate. I got my diploma in absentee, and I enlisted in the Navy during the war, 44.
That was World War II then?
Yeah.
Were the kids encouraged to do that?
No, I don't think. No, they didn't tell you not to, but... Mm-hmm. No,
that's when they were drafting them.
Yeah.
Well, I was still in high school. I could have went to college, and instead I enlisted in the Navy. And so I got my diploma in absentee. But a lot of kids did it then. They were
gung-ho.
Yeah, gung-ho. That was the time when they blew the whistle and you went, that's all. Now you blow the whistle and maybe a couple of kids.
And they all, although he went from Pittsburgh, didn't you, Rich? Now, the draftees, they had buses in Trenum and would pick up the... Because I had 3 brothers in the service.
Did you?
Yeah. We had the stars in the window with the flag to show how many went, you know, from your... And all my brothers went by buses. Mm-hmm. All the neighbors, you know. It was sad. Really sad. Sad. We always thought it was the end of the world for us. Very...
Did you keep in touch with them while they were overseas?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Where was Joey? What? He fought in the...
Bastogne.
Johnny was in the infantry. And my brother was in the Coast Guard. My other brother was in the Coast Guard. But that broke my mother's heart. It really did something to her when they left. They all left.
They were at the same time.
Just about. Yep. Mm. Yep. Just about.
And my brother went in before me then. Well, he got drafted. And then, well, I got out of school and I joined. So that was what you did in those times.
Was it sad to be the one going?
I know. I was, like she said, let's go. Let's get it over with. And there was quite a few from Trenum that joined up. And I don't know how my mother felt, or my dad,
yeah,
you know.
They were heartbroken. Oh,
but
yeah.
To me, it was just, hey, I'm getting out of Trenum for a while, see what it's like. I wish I'd stayed in Trenum.
Wasn't all that great, was it?
Yeah.
Wasn't all that great.
What did you do, Betty, after high school?
Oh, I worked, I was a secretary up at Allegheny Steel. I had a job that I... some guy had, but I had to fill in a questionnaire saying that I would give my job up when he came home from the service, which I did.
Uh-huh.
He was a male secretary, and I So I worked there, and then I had a very sick mother, and I had all my brothers home, and I had to stay home and mm-hmm. take care of the family, because my mother died at 62. Mm-hmm. And my dad needed help at home, so this is what I did, being that mm-hmm. I was the baby.
What kind of help? The reason I'm asking that is we don't have a lot of record of the things that women did just in taking care of the house and taking care of
people. Well, and you went to work this, well, when we got married.
Oh, and then after my kids were, I think my twins were junior high, and I was a teacher's aide.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked up at the restaurant in Trenum, at Rich's cousin's restaurant. I made pies up there.
What restaurant is that?
Massard's.
Oh, I know where that is.
Massard's. Mm-hmm. I worked there for quite a while. And that's it. Mm-hmm. But we were always home with our kids when they were little, though.
Uh-huh.
Things are different now.
Yeah.
I know all my daughter-in-laws work. They claim, well, you really have to work now.
Mm-hmm.
When you're raising a family, I guess, things are different. I'm glad we were born in that era.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got married in St. Clement's.
Did you?
And that church was the most beautiful church. We had a pulpit that came out near your pews. I have to show you the picture.
All
it
right.
is beautiful. And then they got rid of everything up there. You know, it was really a church that should have been in Rome.
Uh-huh.
The statues and everything. It was so pretty. And now it's everything is so changed now.
When did it change? When did it change?
Oh, we were married when, Rich?
1950.
And I think it was shortly after St. Pete started to merge with Sacred Heart. Then they started to remodel too. Yeah.
Probably would have been after Vatican too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where's that big wooden rosary?
Oh,
that
yes,
from
I have. Yeah.
Mom brought it. She always had. I don't know who to give it. I was going to give it to the church, but I don't think he wanted it.
Mm.
It's an old wooden rosary. It's a big one. It goes as high as the ceiling.
You know what? Someone told me that Father Duval was not always a Catholic. Do you know if that's true?
No, I don't. He was always a Catholic since I know him. That's news to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know if it's true or not, but someone thought that it was.
I don't know. No.
What kind of work did your father do? Oh, yeah, I asked you about the store, but then the glass
he was a glass cutter, and my mother used to run the store while he was working over the glass house. That was in Arnold. It was American Window Glass then. And when my brother got out of the service, he went there to cut glass. And when I got out of the service, I went there to cut glass.
You had started to tell me about the how you had to be in the family.
Yeah, it was mostly Belgians that started it up, I think.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And
that's the rosary. These came from Belgium, and I bet everyone of these is from the
Yes.
Didn't we offer to give it to the church?
Uh-huh, they didn't want them.
You know who might? The diocesan archives might. All these carvings.
But isn't it beautiful?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Being that I was the only Catholic, Rich's mother was Catholic.
Uh-huh.
His father wasn't.
Uh-huh.
And being that I was the only Catholic daughter
uh-huh.
of the family, I got the rosaries.
I see. They're worth holding on to. They're worth keeping. Yeah.
Put it in my casket when I die.
Oh, yeah, wrap it around your arm.
But then take them off before you
oh.
Yeah, I have to show you this, the church. Look at the pulpit. You went up those steps, and it extended out. Here, you can get it.
Uh-huh.
Look at that. Isn't that beautiful?
I see, with the parish way back, the altar way back.
Yes,
there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people could not even visualize that being there.
I couldn't when you said it.
Uh-huh.
I really couldn't. That's beautiful. And this is your wedding?
Well, this was just some of my family. They just took a close-up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's beautiful.
But I thought that is so pretty.
Yeah.
That is so pretty.
I had started to ask you about the glass cutting.
Yeah.
And did you get into that too?
Yeah, it was all diamonds. We used all diamonds, no wheels or nothing. And you could cut a stack of glass, you could run your hand over the top of it. That's how smooth it was. But it was all diamond, industrial diamonds. It was all cutting with diamonds.
Did you have to get a lot of training to learn to do that?
Well, they gave you a 3-year apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
When you'd first go in, you'd help your dad stack it and con it, and then they'd give you a table of your own. You'd go in and they'd give you pieces, you'd cut pieces out. You had to set your own diamonds, set them up in a little pearl, whatever they called it, and you'd put it into a thing, and you had to set it so the edge was, you'd scratch with it till you saw a nice shiny, and then you would tighten it up and you were set. I cut big window glass. I cut windows that fit in Kaufman's or somewhere. It was big plate glass windows. Well, it wasn't. We weren't plate. It was all window glass. I cut glass big enough to fit in those windows there. 1/4-inch thick. That was big glass.
How would that get transported?
Truck. They'd bring the trucks in. Railroad. Take them out in railroad cars. Yeah.
That was a big business here.
Well, it was a good money maker, yeah. PPG came in and they started their float glass and made it cheaper and we went out of business.
Oh, I see. That's what happened then to the glass company.
Yeah, they, they got better at making glass and making it cheaper. Pittsburgh Plate came out, they had a float. Ours all came up out of a tank. It came straight up on a leer, leer or pulleys or whatever, and you had the guys up in the tank, it cut it, 2 guys pick it up and put it on a dolly, and but then PPG came out with a smooth float glass, and that plus a lot of other things.
Being
they
imported.
Came out with safety glass and everything else, and that knocked the heck out of us. So. Yeah, I worked there. Well, my brother had, 28 years in there. I had 25, and they shut it down.
Mm. I think you said the company had another name besides American...
American Window Glass, American Saint-Gobain. I think it was Frenchman that bought the company.
How do you spell that?
Saint-Gobain. American Saint-Gobain. Well, it wasn't all Belgians. We had Italian. We had anybody working there, you know, that started it up.
Uh-huh.
Italians, Slovaks, and we had all Russians. There was Russians in there.
Hmm. People, first generation from Russia?
Well, I don't think that old. No, it would be their family. Yeah.
And that was that in Arnold?
Arnold. Right across the river.
Did you ever have unions over there?
Oh yeah.
Did you?
Oh yeah, we had a strong union. We had a couple of guys that went say at our meetings, pledge allegiance to the flag. Next day we'd walk out on strike. We wanted to get rid of them. They were the Russians.
They wouldn't pledge to the flag.
No, he wouldn't do it. His name was Gabrish, Henry Gabrish. The meetings, he would put up his hand and he said, that's it. Next day we all walked out. We'd go out and strike. We used to strike at everything. anything we didn't like, strike.
Did it work?
Yeah, most of the time it worked.
They were close-knit.
Oh, yeah. If somebody didn't like something, they'd go to the bar, hey, we don't like this. Well, we're going out. We'll out the next day. That's all. Then we picketed.
Yeah. Did you?
Oh, yeah, we picketed.
Did you have any support from people around the area?
Not. See, the thing over there, there was two different unions. We were AFL, and there was a CIO over there. Then they joined AFL.
Yeah.
But we were the AFL union, and the CIO was, the cutters were the AFL. And the laborers and the tank men, they were all CIO. But if we'd go out and strike, they'd work until there was no more room to put the glass that they made, and they, we wouldn't let anything be shipped out. And they'd have to leave too. Then you had two unions out and striking.
Mm-hmm.
And we let them go in, they did their job, and once they had enough, they'd walk out too. So it was tough.
What did you do after the company closed?
I went on unemployment for a while. Then I got a job down PPG in Springdale, the paint factory.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there for 19 years. And that's where I retired from.
You probably had a union down there too.
Yeah. But then I got into management. I worked in a union for about 8 or 9 years maybe. And I got in management for 10 or 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I retired. April 1st, 1988.
Huh.
He has a good memory like his mother.
No.
His mother could tell you dates. If she picked up an obituary in the paper in old Belgium that died, she knew exactly where she was born and the age. And she was marvelous, huh, Richard?
Uh-huh. She was very good.
Oh, God.
Are there many people around this area now who have Belgian ancestry?
Not that many anymore. That's what I told you over the phone. I says, me, my brother, my sister. There are Belgians.
Hewitts.
Hewitts.
The ramps, but they're gone.
See,
a lot of them are dead.
We used to call it purebred. My mother and dad were both Belgians.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones are mixed, you know, but they...
They were married into
it. The man was a Belgian, and at one time, Trenton was a lot of Belgians. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, those were old-timers, though, too. They're all gone, like the Brostos and everybody. They're
Jules Corger.
Jules Corger, yeah.
The Fevers.
Yes.
There was a lot. They're dying down.
And you were saying about your children that all of them haven't been able to stay around here.
Well, you can tell.
Well, no. Well, my oldest was Mark. He went to college. And then when he came out, he went to work for a telephone company. Then he moved to D.C. and he did everything down there. Then he got in with AT&T, and that's where he's at now.
Mm-hmm.
My other one, he went to college for
half a year,
6 weeks or something. He gave it up. He went to work for Sargent Telephone Company. He traveled all over installing phones and everything. And he moved up. He quit Sargent, and he's in with Sprint now.
Mm-hmm.
He works out of, well,
Park.
He's in management with Sprint. My other son, that was Lynn. My other son, Kevin, I'll never forget, he was sitting up in there. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to join the Navy. I said, get that. No, I don't. I said, you don't want to. He said, I'm joining the Navy. It wasn't what?
He got out, he graduated.
And he went right into the service.
And they came and picked him up and he went to the service. But he...
And he was in, he got into nuclear. He was aboard a cruiser, nuclear cruiser. He passed all those, it was pretty tough, he said.
He's been everywhere, Italy.
And now he worked for nuclear, Babcock and Wilcox. He's in Lynchburg, Virginia now. My daughter, Kalani, she went to work for the county, and she's from Oregon.
She never went to college, and she has a real good job down there. She's a secretary to four guys.
So we've been pretty
plumbers.
Lucky.
So we've been fortunate.
Yeah.
Really. And Mark lives in New Jersey. The oldest one lives in New Jersey.
New Jersey, Lynchburg, Virginia, and... Well, Lynn lives out North
Park. North
Park.
You know where North Park is.
Yeah,
it's a pretty area.
Yeah, it is really
so they're all doing great. really good.
And grandchildren?
Oh, yes, four. Four grandchildren, uh-huh. Yes. We babysit one every Monday.
Oh, that's
at
nice.
North Park. Well, yeah. They had one after Todd's 16 and the little girl turned 14. And 13, and he's going to be four.
Mm.
So,
he's our rascal.
Yeah. Mm. And my other one's 18 in New Jersey.
Mm.
So, they're all pretty well grown. Karen has no children, nor does Kevin.
Mm.
So, they're doing good.
You talked about being at home when the kids were growing up. What was an ordinary day like for you at home when you had little kids?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm sure we were young then, and mm-hmm. I did have, there was never children around where we lived. We always had a pool for the kids.
Well, Mark and Lynn were 2 years apart.
So they were close.
Mm-hmm. And then we didn't have...
After 5.5 or 6 years, we had a set of twins.
Oh.
The boy and a girl. So mm-hmm. they were always together.
Uh-huh.
And it was nice. It was nice. Really nice. We always lived in this area right here, though. We lived up by the corner coming down Crystal View.
Yeah.
That was our family house. Then my brother had a gas station next door here.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved down here then.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I raised my kids.
Right
all my
here
kids.
On Freeport Road.
Yes, mm-hmm. I did. No fence or nothing.
Really? Was it busy then?
Oh, yeah.
Well, not as busy. Well,
we didn't have the expressway then.
We didn't have the expressway. It was, you know, going to work, coming home from work, everybody used this road.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty busy. Mm-hmm. And we had dogs, too.
Oh, God, hunting dogs.
Yeah, we never had a dog get killed on the highway, either.
No,
yeah.
No.
We were lucky.
We were lucky.
Yeah.
So I think we'll die here.
Uh-huh.
We were born and raised
stay.
Here. Yeah, we're going to stay. Well, I don't want to give my home up.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old home.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to... I like it. I really like it. We have a pool out there. The kids come all the time. We've got a big pool out there, and we are rich.
Yeah, and there's,
I love
still, there's still family around.
Well,
my
yeah.
mother lives right over in New Kensington. My sister lives right over here in New Carl Avenue, 5 minutes apart, so we still have family around.
A lot of people have had to leave here, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, it was sad.
Well, just like my kids, they couldn't see living here.
Not after they left.
Once they went to college and they got out on their own, they couldn't see living in this little town, Creighton. And I think that's the reason for a lot of kids. They just can't see anything to do around here, you know. Or we had things that we may do. We'd do things that we enjoyed, but they wouldn't even think about doing it. I'd tell them, let's go swim in a river. They'd look at me like I'd be nuts, you know. I don't blame them. I don't... think swimming in the river is a good
idea. But they love coming home.
Do they?
Oh, yeah, they love coming home. Oh, yeah.
They love their mother's cooking.
Yeah. They do love coming home. We have a good time. Although now, as the kids get older, the two out in North Park now, the mother and dad come in with the little baby. Well, they got other things to do. Todd's a junior.
But we still all go on vacation.
We all go on vacation together.
Ocean City.
That's where we go. Yeah. And then, like I say, in the summer, they're always here. They're always here on weekends.
Well, we put a pole in there for them, too.
So that was nice. Yeah. Yeah.
In your memories of Tarentum, do you remember people from different ethnic groups, how they got together, or did they get together? They lived in different places?
Well, it would be church, mostly. All your Slovaks went to St. Clement's.
Oh, yes.
Your Belgian, the English, and... whoever went to St. Pete's, you know, it was, that's where the...
The Slovaks were all together. It seemed up on, right where St. Clement's was, it was all the Slovaks
and
lived around
down
there.
Down in the alley.
Oh, alley, yeah,
that
in the alley, that
Slovaks
was Slovaks too.
There.
What alley was that?
Oh, what did they call that?
Conroy Way.
Or
something. That was Conroy Street near
the alley. They were all Slovaks down there. And everybody knows everybody here.
Oh, yeah.
We go shopping. This is what's so wonderful. You always meet everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I go out to my kids in Virginia, and you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
And my sister that lived in New York for, 50-some years, never knew her neighbor.
Hmm.
The that's the way they are in New York City, you know. Mm-hmm. And she said, I can't believe, Betty, you know everybody. I said, well, everybody knows everybody, which makes it so nice. Mm-hmm. That's why, that's another reason I said there's more friendlier people around here. Well, this area, even, I'm sure people down, if it, like where my daughter lives, my daughter-in-law, and my son lives in North Park, everybody's friendly. Uh-huh. Now, there's some parts of the states, they're not. Yeah. They're more to themselves. And that would kill me. Oh, God.
Yeah.
If I couldn't see somebody that I knew. I would.
That'd be funny.
Yeah. I was just like my sister dying. She died. She died Holy Saturday. We were in Florida.
Just this past year?
No, 3 years ago. She was 89. She had a stroke, and they didn't tell us about it until we were in Florida, but she was cremated. He said, who would come to the funeral, Betty, out there? They have three girls, and it was very just the family, you know. And then my brother Mike, he was, he would have been 90-something. He died 2 years ago on Good Friday, and my mother died on Palm Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I always disliked Easter. Mm-hmm. Once Easter passed, I was happy. Yeah. Now, my parents are buried up in St. Clement Cemetery, and my two brothers are buried up there.
Mm-hmm.
My other ones, their wives put them. These two weren't married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm thinking that trolley. That used to run the whole way.
Oh, yeah.
So we had trolleys.
Trolleys.
Going through Trenton.
Oh, yes.
Then we had the Ku Klux Klan marching through Trenton.
Did you?
We could see them in our white hoods. It marched right down 7th Avenue.
Sure, we had them up burning crosses up the hill.
When was that?
Oh, that was when we were young.
When was the Ku Klux Klan?
Oh, I was a young kid then, yeah. My God, that was a long time ago. They used to burn crosses over on top of the hill across the river.
We had WPA.
All right, I've
CC camps.
Mm-hmm.
We had CC camps then.
Did you know people who were in them?
Oh, sure. I remember my dad and them all marching the streets, you know, for the WPA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these were poor times,
mm-hmm.
believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Very. My dad lost two homes during Depression.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little girl. I'll never forget them nailing a sheriff's sign on the two homes that my dad built. Like my older brothers would say, we didn't know the blunt of it. My brother, my other brother was like, how old was Joey? We were like 4 years difference maybe. We didn't, because my sister just took such good care of us, when she went to New York City to work, send us things. We were never without anything. We were so fortunate. She was so good to my mother and dad. She went to the Catholic school, but didn't learn anything because she had a crochet. Up there. She had to crochet the doilies.
Oh,
yeah. And my brother was bad up there. He would say, he'd ring the bell and they'd pull him up, you know, and then he would get punished and they would give him lard sandwiches. I never forgot that. He always said he forgot his lunch. Because they went to school on streetcars. But sometimes they walked, though. They had a walk. They would get these lard sandwiches. Boy, he never did that. I used to hear my brother and sister tell all these stories. It was so wonderful.
Huh?
And then my grandson, one day he stayed here overnight with the other two. He told them about our how we had air raids.
Uh-huh.
And how we had to put blankets over our windows. And Rich showed him all the pictures when he was in the service. You know, he just couldn't believe all this.
Yeah, the kids don't know about that.
They don't know about it.
Yeah,
they don't know about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn this over before it runs out.